Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and welcome to Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. In this episode, I speak to retired jockey and Dancing with the Stars champion, Nina Carberry.
I feel that, like, if you think you're the best, you don't learn anymore. You feel that, like, you don't get any better. So that's the way I look at it. I try and surround my people that will tell me, surround myself with people that will tell me that I need to improve on this. I'm not doing great all the time, you know, because in any kind of sport, you can always improve, or any type of job as well. It's not just sport. Like, you can always improve in anything you do. So being surrounded by people that telling you're doing brilliant all the time isn't so much a good thing, because you don't keep learning then. You don't strive for better.
Nina is regarded as one of the greatest amateur riders of all time. And after an almost 17-year career in the saddle, she retired in 2018. She's married to Ted, and they've two daughters, Rosie, who's 5 next month, and Holly, who's 2.5. She's incredibly hardworking, grounded, and naturally shy. And in this conversation, we talk all things Dancing with the Stars, including her grueling training schedule and being out of her comfort zone, her friendship with Rachel Blackmore, life at home with her family and her horses and all that it entails, and how winning Dancing with the Stars compares to winning a Grand National or a Cheltenham. Here it is. Congratulations. Congratulations on the Dancing with the Stars win. I am such a fan of the show. I think it's absolutely brilliant. But this year was, obviously, for obvious reasons, my sister was part of it as well. But it was just an amazing series. I was blown away each and every week. And of course, you were crowned the ultimate champion. Have you been able to kind of process the whole experience since it happened?
Not really. It was just like a blur, to be honest, Sheila. Like, the whole thing, the whole 4 months of being in the show was just a blur, because there was so much put into it. I just felt I was in a little dream. I felt I wasn't dancing. I didn't think anyone was watching me. But, like, the fact that when it finished and the reaction I got and when I won, it was incredible. It was just an amazing show to be part of, as you said. Like, I don't know whether it, because I was a part of it, but it just felt like it was just an amazing show. Like, I've watched it before, like, not like religiously, but definitely was really interested in how people got on in it, but didn't watch it, like, I suppose, every week, I probably dare to say. But I really, really enjoyed it. And I felt that the show, I suppose, towards the end got really popular. And I think a lot of people in it kind of related to a lot of people at home as well. So I think people really, really enjoyed it, to be honest.
Yeah. And I know this again, because my sis was part of it, that, you know, there was a real sense of
camaraderie between you all, and you're all rooting for each other.
Yeah, like I was like, you know, you try and do your best every week, but like you just don't want anyone to like mess up or whatever. You just want them to do well as well. Well, especially I felt that anyway, because like watching people struggle is awful, you know, and yeah. There's nothing worse, Sheila, there's nothing worse. You're so terrified going out on stage and you just want everything to go well. You don't want to trip, you don't want to, you know, and then you have to line up in front of the judges and they completely criticize you and you're only delighted with yourself. You've got to the end of the dance.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, like you're getting criticized, you know, and I just felt it's hard going. So I always tried to support everybody that went on and, it was tough going on a lot of us, you know, at different times. Everyone, I think, had a tear as well throughout the show. There's definitely no one there that was a part of it didn't have a tear, you know. So, yeah, it was a very emotional roller coaster, Sheila, to be honest. I'd say Grant would say that as well.
Oh, big time. Yeah. And she said exactly the same thing that you said. Everybody kind of had their moment or moments, as the case may be, where, you know, it got a bit overwhelming. And
yeah.
I suppose that's normal because you're being drained on every level. Physically, you're doing something. Mostly, you're doing something brand new. Like, you know, you weren't a dancer. You clearly are one now, but you weren't at the beginning of it. But like, you're even though you're a very fit, strong woman, clearly, you're still kind of demanding your body to do something completely different. So there's the physical exhaustion, but there's also the mental and emotional drain. And for you as well, as a mother of two, and young girls at that, like the pull on your heart each and every week must have been, I can only begin to imagine how hard that was for you.
Yeah. When I took it on, I was like, I'll probably only last a couple of weeks. I'll give it a go. And
did you really think that?
Yeah. And I honestly, because I'm so bad, I'm very pigeon-toed. And like everyone that I said, I'm doing Dance with the Stars, they laughed at me, Sheila. They laughed.
No.
I was terrified then. Do you know?
Who's laughing now?
So, they actually did. That was their first reaction. You're not doing Dance with the Stars. I am. I'm taking on this bloody challenge and I'm going to do it. So got in anyway, started training. And I think I cried the whole way home. The second night I went training, I was like, I'm not going to do this. I can't do it. I'm not able. And fair dues to Pasquale. He kept on to me. He kept me at it. And he got me to a stage that I started to half believe in myself from the first show. I was like, oh my goodness, I can actually try and do this, you know. But then I was so terrified when they started to change up the dances all the time. I was like, I wish I could just keep doing the quick step.
yeah, I've nailed this one. Can I just do this every week? It's funny, you know, because when you came out week one, and again, it's probably a brilliant thing for the viewer to not have any expectations of you, because when you think of, you know, your career, you don't automatically think, oh, she's going to be she's going to have natural dance ability. Mm. Sports people have always done really well in the show, probably because of that, you know, mindset of you're very driven, you're very competitive, you're very single focused, and you're fit, you're strong. So that's obviously going to be a benefit when it comes to dance. But dance is about grace and musical timing and all these things. And, you know, I suppose we wouldn't have known, but I remember week one and the judges saying, you're the dark horse, excuse the pun, of the competition. And I remember thinking, and I have no dance experience, like I have probably less than my sister. But I remember thinking, God, I think Nina has something. God, you know, there's something there. Like, and also what hit the viewer straight away about you, which at the end of the day, with a lot of these shows, people, they kind of fall in love with the person as well as what they are actually doing. And obviously in the final shakedown, it's always the best dancers that are left, which is the right way to be it. At the end of the day, it's a dance competition, but it's also the personality of the person. It's their vibe. And I couldn't get over the fact that, you know, like we all have an element of ego. It's natural. It's not necessarily all bad, but you seemed completely devoid of one. You are so utterly grounded. And I know this again from my sis, what you see is what you get. There's no act with you. You're just, this is just the way you are. And I think the fact that you're so humble and modest and all those lovely, lovely qualities, that definitely resonated with the viewer at home, which led them picking up the phone, ringing and voting for you and texting for you, which ultimately led to you winning. And you were a bloody brilliant dancer too. But I think that's what people really felt from the get-go from you. God, she's just really sound.
Thanks, Sheila. Yeah, they're lovely words. Thank you very much. I suppose after the first dance, I was so relieved. See, I had a massive nightmare that I'd trip and I'd fall. And to get to the end of that dance, Sheila, you would not. The relief in me, I was like, I can't believe I'm actually getting to the end of this dance, because it took so long for me to learn it. And the relief, and I suppose maybe I actually, like, at the end of it, I was like, I don't really care what the judges give me. I'm just so happy to get to the end of the dance, and I felt like it went well. So, like, you know the way, and I suppose that probably came across a little bit that, like, I don't know, Sheila, it was just, I was just so happy to, you know, to be doing it every week. And once Pasquale was happy with me, I was kind of happy that it kind of went well. So, yeah, I was kind of going off his judgment every week. And I felt that, like, he was getting me to a standard that, like, I'd actually never thought I'd ever, ever in my life get to. Like, so he's just, he was just an amazing professional as well. You know, he was so, such a perfectionist. Like, I didn't even know where to put my hands or, you know, so he got used to kind of teaching me as well along the way, because I was so slow at learning the first dance. He was like, we're going to have to learn how to quicken it up now, because you took so long to learn the first dance. So basically,
wow, really?
Yeah. So he basically, the first time he taught me, I was just learning the steps, and then he added in the arms, and then he added in the head, like when you're doing the ballroom. So this took such a long process, but he says, the next time I'm going to teach you now ballroom, I'm just going to chuck everything at you, because, like, there's no point you learning the steps and then the head and then where the arms go, because you're going to learn it too slowly. So that's when we started quickening it up, and it kind of actually, it actually worked better for me then. And it was brilliant on his part as well, that, like, he grew quicker trying to teach me as well. So that's probably where it all went down to, was thanking him really to teach me so well.
Yeah, and the partnership is key. Obviously, all the pro dancers are incredible. And when they do the pro dances, you're just gob open looking at how amazing they are. But, you know, he has such a brilliant track record, having won with Lottie before. You must have been thinking, God, this is great that I'm teamed up with this guy.
Yeah.
Because he is a champion.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, when he's dancing with you, he always tries to make you look the best. He's not there to, do you know what I mean? He's there to make you look the best. And, like, even he's into, like, what you wear costume wise, and he's making sure that everything, like, looks good on you to make you look good. Like, so I feel, unbelievable, Sheila. Like, you know, like, he's such a professional to right to the bitter end that, like, you know, that his choreography of everything is all to make you look really well and look comfortable and never looking insecure. So that was his key of everything, and it really paid off. You know, I don't know how to describe it, Sheila, but just, I suppose, his end-to-end perfection of everything. You know, I think he just wanted perfection in everything, and from costume to hair to what my makeup looked like. So, like, it wasn't just the dance for him as well. It was, like, everything put together, which, like, is amazing. I try in somebody, you know, that, like, he can process that all, because I couldn't. I was asking, does my makeup look good? I had no clue. You know, so, like, a lot is down to him, the how good I looked, and, like, the Charleston and all those different looks as well. Like the girls in hair were so good, like, you know, and the makeup and the costumes,
it looked amazing.
Like, amazing, Sheila. Like, it was an unbelievable production. So, yeah, it was
really
brilliant.
Is. And I would imagine as well, for the pros, they probably suss out the person within the first few days of meeting them, because they know, obviously, whoever's walking through the door, like, some people might have some sort of dance experience, but the majority don't. You certainly didn't. And you're instantly going to be very vulnerable. You're instantly going to be feel on the back foot, because you're dealing with somebody who's a professional and the best at what they do. And then you are coming in as a complete novice.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing from you that you're naturally quite a shy person.
Yeah, very shy, to be honest.
Are you? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and
so you kind of have to fight against that, because the show is all about showbiz. It's all about, like, putting on a big old show, and even the bits of video they record during training week. Like, you're sitting there in front of a camera and you're being interviewed. So you are probably being pushed out of your comfort zone all the time.
Big time, yeah. Like, I really had to get over that struggle of being shy, because it just wasn't, I wasn't able to be. You know what I mean?
I was doing
VTs every week, and there were, you know, there's no hiding from it. You have to get interviewed by Nikki. You have to stand there in front of the judges. You have to go out and dance. Like, there's no getting away from being shy. So, yeah, that was the really hard struggle of, and I, to be honest, I think I've grown since the show, to be honest, and learned how to, I suppose, talk a bit better and not be as shy. And yeah, it definitely helped me, I suppose, build as a person. And when I retired, I felt I kind of went into myself a little bit, because I had nothing else to do. And I think it was probably one of the best things I've done since I've retired, to be honest. Probably the best thing I've done for my confidence as well. And it really brought it out in me. And once I kind of got a grip on it, I just went for it then. I got a hold on it. And I just didn't feel at that insecure anymore. I kind of started gaining confidence halfway through. And every week I was kind of like, right, this is going to be my week, and going home, and I kept getting voted on every time. So yeah, it was an amazing show. Like, I didn't expect to be there for 12 weeks, to be honest, Sheila.
Wow. And then, like, of course, I think you were you one of the only, or the only person that never ended up in a dance-off? So that just shows how popular you were. You were never in the bottom two. And you've answered it there really already, but I did want to know, like, how you have changed over the experience of being on the show, because, like, you know, you retired in 2018. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah.
And then, of course, obviously you're busy being a mother, and, you know, but you're also, you're kind of leaving behind this career that has shaped the person you are and has become your identity. And then you're moving. So I completely appreciate that. And then this new thing comes along that is all consuming when it's happening. Mm-hmm. And then it stops. What is that come down like, or is there a come down from the end of it?
Definitely there is. Yeah, I really, really miss the training, to be honest. And which I didn't think at all I would miss. I was so tired at the end, all I wanted was a break from it. But that feeling of I'd dance in a new dance every week, and, you know, I started getting a bit addicted to it, to be honest. And I didn't think I would, but I actually, when I stopped, I was like, oh, where's the next kind of, you know, a bit of adrenaline rush coming from, you know? And yeah, you do. It's a little bit of a void, to be honest. And yeah, you're learning something new every single week, and the pressure's on for you to learn it. And I actually kind of relished the pressure a little bit. I didn't think I would, but I actually probably did. But my focus got better as the shows went on, as in when I started to train, Pasquale felt I was very, wasn't there. I was focusing on other things. Like, I have horses at home that, you know, are going to sales and things like that. So a lot of my mind wasn't on the job, and my girls missing me as well. So I had to learn how to block that out. So mentally, it made me stronger as well, that I can actually focus on this one thing. And it helped me to actually realize that I actually can focus on one thing. I don't have to, like, try and keep, you know, everything going. So towards the end, I felt I got really good at focusing on just learning the steps, focusing on, just blocking everything out and just trying to concentrate on the one thing, which was mentally very challenging for me, because obviously there's a lot going on. And my husband and, you know, I'd say we've had like 5 meals since the beginning of December till the end of the show together, you know. So that was a lot of time we didn't spend together. And, you know, I was getting up in the morning saying goodbye, and I was getting into the bed saying goodnight, you know. And that was hard on him too. Like, he took over the role of putting the girls to bed. We had great babysitters as well, so that all helped as well. But it was very hard on him too. Like, it was very tough on the two of us, but we got through it, and it was such an amazing end to it all as well.
Yeah, you're badly in need, I'd say, of a good old holiday and a break. But were you doing crazy hours? Like, were you training from first thing to late at night? Sounds like you were.
I was doing the horses. I was up doing the horses, feeding them at 6:30, and then I had great girls in the yard, Sive and Lynn helping me as well. So yeah, we've about 15 horses in. So they all have to be ridden out and everything before I left for kind of a 1 o'clock. I kind of picked the girls up from school, or Rosie up from school, and kind of, I suppose, spent a bit of time with them for about 2 hours. And then I headed off to meet Pasquale. I'd feed the horses on the way kind of from 4 to 5, and then meet Pasquale in Liffey Trust in beside the Tree Arena. And from 5 o'clock till 9 or 10, depending on how well I practiced that night, Sheila, depending. You know, so
Nina, that's mental. I mean,
I know. And actually, my easiest day was a Saturday for most of it all, because we only had to do the camera rehearsal 3 times, and then that was it. So I had my afternoon and evening off. So that was kind of the most day I looked forward to. And then your whole Sunday was gone then. So yeah, it was really time consuming. I wasn't expecting it at all. But once you got into it, then it wasn't so bad. But it was kind of very hard going early on, because I wasn't expecting the amount of time I had to put into it.
Yeah, that's even more impressive. I didn't get that feeling from watching the show that that's what your daily schedule was like. Yeah. I had no clue. I just assumed, like the majority of people, you went in the morning and you finished then around like 5 or 6, whatever it was. Mm. But like when you say that, so you're doing both jobs.
I had to keep my business would have fallen, you know, if I left it go. So I actually said to Pasquale, there's no way I can train in the morning or afternoon. I have to train in the evenings. I'm really sorry. And he was like, no problem at all. Don't worry. And he was very supportive. And, you know, it was hard on him too, because he had to do the choreography of everything. And it was late at night. And I suppose our bodies got used to it in the end, but it was very, very tough early on, because it was just long days, you know. But definitely your body, I'm amazed how much your body can change if you can just keep doing a routine, and it just gets used to it and you just get on with it. Like, it's mad how your body adapts. Yeah.
Well, I suppose you were going into it as well with, because it was obvious from show one that you are very fit, very strong. So, you know, you're clearly, I'm guessing you're somebody who trains, or is it just natural, like being working that keeps you so fit and so strong?
Yeah, no, I don't really train, to be honest.
You're not. Wow.
I ride out, and that fitness keeps me at that level. But there's definitely no fitness like dance fitness, to be honest, Sheila. I've never, if anything, compared to it. So I've never been as fit in my whole life doing the dancing. Yeah. And I think anyone that look at me now would say that, like, you know, I've never been as fit looking now. I'm probably starting to bulk up now, but like, you can see yourself, like, everyone toned up, I think, you know. So even you know,
totally. And come here, all the judges, obviously, every week, as the weeks went on, that, you know, there were more and more compliments. And one of the things that was said, I think, by Brian was like, look how good you are going from complete novice to what you've just done on the dance floor tonight in whatever amount of weeks at this stage. And he was thinking, had you started to dance when you were younger, like, they were just thinking how incredible you perhaps would have been. It's one of those kind of almost sliding doors moments going, had you not. And I know, like, horse racing is in your DNA, so it was inevitable that you were going to go into that. But do you wonder, wow, what if, as in, you know, we never know what our abilities are unless we try it out. And I suppose, you know, dance was not something that was in your life, but then you picked it up so quickly. You became so brilliant so fast. Did you ever wonder what if, or does it encourage you to maybe look at dance as something that you might encourage your girls to do?
Oh, definitely, Sheila. Like, no doubt. I think, like, Rosie's quite, like me, quite shy. And I definitely think that she'll really... I think she'd really do well, like, in personally, I think she'll do really well dancing, because it's such an emotional and, like, brilliant thing to do. And it's just, it'd be so good for her to try and come out in herself a little bit more. And I even see her when I'm here, she'll dance in front of me, but she won't dance in front of anyone else. So I think that'll really bring her out. And I think it's a brilliant way to get exercise for the young ones coming up. You know, I think it's an amazing way of getting exercise into them, and they're having fun at the same time. And their music as well just puts you in good form. And I think it's a brilliant way for exercise. And I think like, you're, I don't know, your endorphins just get so, you're just so happy, you know, you just get so happy when you dance. And you're actually, like, I was sweating, not even knowing why I was sweating, you know, but it just happens, and you don't feel the exercise happening, if you get what I mean. So Yeah, I think it'd be a lovely way for Rosie to kind of, like, Holly doesn't need it so much. She's very outgoing, but definitely Rosie, I think it would really bring it out. If I had danced as I was younger, I think it'd be a lovely way of expressing yourself. And yeah, I definitely going to send her to John Nolan's school. So I'd love
Brilliant. Yeah.
She went there one of the nights, so she enjoyed it. So once the horses kind of get going and we sell a few of them, we'll have time to bring her. And yeah, I'd love that.
And Camille, what about yourself? Because, you know, I don't know. Are you dancing since? Have you danced around the kitchen since the show ended?
No, I actually love to go, Sheila. It's just so hard to get the time at the minute. But yeah, definitely going to go. Definitely going to do something. Ted wants to do it as well. So
really, brilliant.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. And yeah, just get the right time to go now. I really love to, you know, do something. And yeah, definitely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
When did you start to realize, wait a second, I'm not bad at this dance crack?
I was meant to be on week two. Do you know the way the COVID, I think there was one person, remember that we were meant to all dance the 1 week?
Yeah.
They split into six and six. So I was meant to go on the second week. So they pushed me forward to the first week because someone had gotten COVID. I can't remember who, but yeah, so it kind of gave me a bit of a chance to learn the rumba a bit better. So that was my second dance.
Oh yeah, so, it was gorgeous.
So that was like 2 weeks after the quick step. So it gave me 2 weeks, Sheila, like to do it. So I was delighted with myself. I was like, yes, all I can concentrate now is the rumba. I don't have to try and concentrate in the two dances. So once I actually love doing the rumba, but it was so hard on your legs. I'm sure Grania would say the same. And you have to just keep them tense the whole time. And it's just there's a lot of exercise into the rumba, even though it's a really slow dance. Yeah, technically it's very hard on the body. Yeah, so I actually really enjoyed that dance. It was it wasn't a hard dance, but it very visually, I'd look cool, you know what I mean? So that was one dance I really would have liked to have done again with a bit more confidence.
It's funny you say that because of all the dances, I was hoping that the judges would say that they wanted to see your rumba again. Mm-hmm. I did. I really wanted to see it again because I thought it was hilarious because I think at the BT you were saying like, I can't be sexy. I can't do sexy. And the next thing you come out and like men, women, all of us jaw to the floor looking at you going, for God's sake, you were just so sensual and so sexy. It was bloody gorgeous. Yeah. And I would have loved to have seen it again with the confidence that you'd built up through the weeks. Because, you know, you do strike me as you have this lovely kind of girl next door energy, very grounded, very no airs and graces. But then you come out and do a dance like that, which is all about, it's obviously the lover's dance and it's about being very sensual and being very sexy. Was that difficult for someone like you who's naturally quite shy to allow yourself to kind of embrace that kind of energy?
Yeah, it was hard. Like, Pasquale would be like, you have to do this. And I'm like, seriously, my girls are going to be watching. Pasquale, please. He says, no, this is a dance. I was like,
you have to go for it, yeah.
So, like, he gave me everything, like, from where the hands are meant to be and, you know, everything, like, from, like, I just wasn't natural at all. So, literally, I was doing exactly what he was telling me to do. So, like, from every movement you can see in that dance is what Pasquale told me to do. I literally didn't have my own input at all. So, like, you can only imagine, like, the, you know, the creativity that Pasquale has, to be able to do it with me, because like I don't have any, you know, those movements, you know, and I had to like literally learn it from start. But that's one dance I really would love to do again.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's one for you and Ted to do if you do some dance classes together. That'd be fab. So you now are a household name in Ireland. You know, you were very much known and very well respected within your field. You know, the Carberry name is legendary, and that goes without saying. But for those of us not in the horse racing world, might not have been that familiar with you. Whereas now, with Dancing with the Stars, one of the biggest shows on Irish TV, you have become a household name. How are you dealing with this newfound fame and interest in you?
Yeah, I can't be kind of going into the shopping center anymore in my joggers or like my hair, like it's terrible. I'm so embarrassed. And like half the time I have to run in and get stuff to go back and get the girls or do something. And
but of course you can still do it. Do you know what? That's never stop doing that, because then you're just being yourself. That's why we love you.
So yeah, I never thought people noticed me as much, and now like hi Nina, well done. I'm like, oh my god. Anyway, yeah, that's kind of hard to get used to, but really enjoying it. The amount of people that like watch the show is incredible, and from age groups from like 2 to like people in their 90s ringing me, you know. And it's just an amazing show that it connects with so many different people, and everyone can go sit down and watch it. So it's hard to get my head around that bit. And like, you know, winning the national definitely didn't get as much publicity as I have done winning the Dance with the Stars, which is mad for me in my head. Like, you know, it's just mad.
I wanted to ask you about that. Like, how does it compare, you know, winning a Grand National or winning at Cheltenham versus being crowned champion of Dancing with the Stars 2022?
Well, it's a difference, totally different. Like, obviously, my career is all around trying to win something like the Grand National, and history in the Grand National is all, you know, everyone wants to be a part of that, you know. So it's completely different, but it's mad that the reaction that I got from winning Dance with the Stars compared to winning the Grand National. Now, I got a brilliant reaction as well winning the Grand National, but it was just an amazing, it connected with so many different people that, like, you know, didn't know me before, you know. So it was brilliant. It was absolutely unreal.
So you are very much regarded as a trailblazer in your field, but how do you feel about that label?
It's hard enough, because there was girls before me that helped me to get to where I am. So the time when I started off, Katie Walsh, which is my sister-in-law, and like Cathy Gannon, there's other jockeys there as well. We all kind of came at the same time. So when I was kind of winning races, Katie was winning races, Cathy Gannon was winning races. It wasn't a taboo anymore. It was kind of like, oh yeah, they're just winning, you know. It wasn't a thing anymore. So I suppose it did help when there was a bunch of us coming together. It wasn't just me or, do you know, Katie, or, do you know, it was a good few of us started winning like against professionals. And I had the winner in Cheltenham, then Katie followed suit and had a double at the Cheltenham Festival as well. So like that was incredible, do you know, after such a big break from no women winning at Cheltenham to like myself, Katie, Lisa O'Neill. There was Lizzie Kelly, Briony Frost. We all just came at the same time. So it just landed right for, do you know, the likes of Rachel to come on and just clean up. You know, she's won a Gold Cup. She's won a Champion Hurdle. She's won a Grand National. Like, she does brilliant. And she's a brilliant role model and very modest as well. So it's brilliant to have her, because so many little girls and boys look up to her now because of her story, that like she didn't really come from a background like me or Katie. So yeah, she's done phenomenal from where she's come, and to turn professional at 25 and, you know, and to take all before what she's done is incredible.
Yeah, she is incredible. And I know she was a huge supporter of you. We're speaking, of course, about Rachel Blackmore. She was a massive supporter of you when you were in the show.
Oh, she's brilliant, yeah. Text there after. So, yeah, she was brilliant. She's a good friend, and I always really loved to see her doing well, and a big follower of her career. And, yeah, it was amazing to watch her do so well. And then for her to be supporting me at dancing was unreal. Yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it goes both ways. And the fact that you both share that. Is modesty, is that built into you when you're in the horse racing world? You know, stay grounded, you know, don't get above your station.
Sheila, yeah, like it's such an up and down game. When you're up, you're completely, like, I remember my first winner at Cheltenham, I was on a favourite the next day of the bumper, and I won at 25-1 the previous day, and which was not expected. And then I was at the start on the favourite of the bumper the next day, and literally got unseated at the start, and my chances were gone. So, like, totally back down to earth, big level our game. Like, it's so hard to keep at that level and keep, you know, so you can't be. You just can't be cocky. I feel I can't be cocky, because you're just going to be brought right down again straight away. So that's just our game, I suppose. And it's what way you take it then, and mentally try and keep going forward is so hard.
Isn't that great though? Because, you know, for a lot of people, depending on what the industry they're in, but particularly in, I'll say it, the showbiz world, there, you know, ego can be a big factor for a lot of people, because if you're riding high and you're doing well and you're being told you're brilliant all the time, sometimes that will go to your head and you will start to believe your own hype, and that's actually no good for you as a person. I mean, I'm a big believer in having inner confidence, but I'm also I really admire humility in a human being. I think it's probably one of the most attractive things that a person can possess, and when somebody is devoid of that, I find it very off-putting when somebody is kind of full of their own importance or believes their hype. Maybe it's an Irish trait of ours, I don't know, but I think that's why people connected with you, because we don't like the show off. Do you know what I mean?
No. And like, I feel that, like, if you think you're the best, you don't learn anymore. You feel that, like, you don't get any better. So that's the way I look at it. I try and surround my people that will tell me, surround myself with people that will tell me that I need to improve on this. I'm not doing great all the time, you know, because in any kind of sport, you can always improve, or any type of job as well. It's not just sport. Like, you can always improve in anything you do. So being surrounded by people that telling you're doing brilliant all the time isn't so much a good thing, because you don't keep learning then. You don't strive for better. So you need kind of people putting you right all the time. And I'd imagine that Rachel has people like that around her as well, that will put her in the right steps, and, you know, keeping you in the right frame of mind, is because, like, there's so many people telling her that she's so good, but she never gets that, you know, egoness, as you're saying. So there must be a lot of people keeping her level as well, and as well as herself. But, you know, you need strong people around you when you're doing well, because you need them to kind of support you as well.
It's interesting, whenever I listen to interviews with sports people, particularly ones where you kind of get a little bit under the surface and you find out what makes them tick, it's something that a lot of people say, that it's not a negative mindset. It's just about not allowing yourself, again, just what you've just said there about, you know, believing your own hype. But in saying that, I'd be really interested to know whether, you know, in those quiet moments when you're on your own and you're, you know, you're washing your hands in the mirror and you look up at yourself, what is your self-talk like? Are you positive about yourself? You know, do you have a lot of self-belief?
To be honest, Sheila, probably no, I don't. I don't think I can do the things I've been doing, or, you know, and a lot of that belief comes from my husband. He's an unbelievable supporter of mine. I'd say I completely wreck his head saying, I don't know, I think, or the horses, you know, you'd be always thinking, I don't know about this horse. And you were like, he'd be trying to process what I'm trying to say, and he'd turn it into something positive. So then I'll go away and I'll be happy again, you know, but I find it hard to find the positivity in things. And that's a really bad trait. I want to be positive, but I feel that negative comes into me a lot. And I don't know what it is. It's kind of hard to, I find it really hard to think positive, because I always think the bad thing's going to happen, but it's a really bad way to be. And I wish I was better, but I think Ted is a great he's a great positive vibe when I'm here, but I'd say I'll bring him down a bit because I'm kind of a negative person. So maybe we kind of level each other out a little bit.
I was just about to say, there's a reason you're together, because with all couples, we could never be with the male or female version or the same sex version of ourselves, as the case may be, because, you know, we're attracted to people that are different. And we do, I think, complement and help each other grow. And he clearly does for you, and you obviously do for him. It's something I'm fascinated with, because I struggle with it in a completely different way. But myself as well, I would sometimes, even though I'm a huge supporter of others, and I do have a good feelings about myself, but sometimes that critical voice can be a little loud in my own head. Do you know where it comes from? Or is that too big a question to ask?
I think, I don't know, it's self-confidence, probably from a very young age, I suppose. I don't know. I think I fear of failure, Sheila, so much.
Yeah.
I think being in the horse industry, there's so much failure rather than, not so much as a jockey, but to kind of training and kind of getting horses to the sales and stuff. I think people would relate to that a lot, because there is so many ups and downs. You really appreciate the good days, but there's a lot more bad days. So you have to prepare. I have to prepare my mind for those bad days. Cause if you think this is going to happen and it doesn't happen, you get so down. So I suppose I have that kind of level feeling of no, it's probably not going to work, but if it works, it's going to be brilliant, but I'm going to be ready for it not to work. Do you know that kind of way? Because it's happened so many times. And that's really bad way, Sheila, but that's probably why I've been able to keep going in it, that it's such...
It's probably a driving force for you.
Yeah, yeah. And that, if it doesn't work out, we just keep going, And if it does work, this is the most best day it's ever been,
Growing up, who did you want to impress the most?
Impress. Okay. I don't know. I probably looked up to my brother Paul a lot. Not that I wanted to impress him, but I wanted to be quite like him as a rider. And yeah, that's person, if he ever complimented me, I'd be like, class. Doing well there, And not that he wouldn't, but I just learned so much from him from a very young age that if I did well, you did well, I'd be so proud, that kind of way. So because I modeled myself on him from a very young age, and to come to a stage of winning the Grand National, that was just unreal. And he's a man of very little words as well. So I just I know him so much now. You say very little, but you've done well, if you get what I mean, Sheila. So my brother Paul. So yeah, they've been so supportive. All my brothers have been so supportive of me starting off in the racing industry. So yeah, they've been unbelievable supporters, as my parents were too.
I get the feeling that the Carberrys didn't do or don't do small talk or nonsense talk. You'll speak if you have something of value to say or something important to say, but you're not going to be just chatting for the sake of chatting.
No, definitely not. No. Yeah, we wouldn't be just chit-chatting. No, we'd always just, as you said it, there's not very... Oh, I suppose when we were at Christmas time or whatever, we'd all be having a good laugh. But yeah, definitely just small words,
But I'm saying that in a positive way. I think it's good, because then you know where you stand. There's no, excuse me, the term, but there's no bullshit then.
No.
It's straight talking and it's real. And as you said, if he paid you a compliment, you'd know that he wasn't just saying it for the sake of it. He absolutely meant it, and that's why it meant so much to you. Your life now with the horses and the busyness, and your two girls and Ted, is that quite similar to what you grew up with yourself?
Yeah, I'd imagine my mum and dad were always very busy in the yard as well. So yeah, there was a lot to juggle for my mum. I have four older brothers and one younger. So there was always a lot going on. All the brothers, I think a few of them went to boarding school, and the others Mark went as a carpenter. And so there was loads of things going on between all of us. And yeah, there was just coming and going. I suppose I've been used to it all my life. Kind of the yard has been our life, since we were a very young age. And we always had ponies, and having them, literally my mum used to tie the pony and leave feed for him in the garage because she was so sick of going over tacking him up for me that he'd leave him in the garage, because I kept literally come in for breakfast, go out, ride the pony, come back in, leave, literally tie the pony up in the garage and then have my lunch, go back out with the pony. So like literally she left him there all day for me, like literally. So she wasn't going tacking him up all the time. So so that was an amazing thing to have, you know. Not many people have that, you know, on their doorstep. So I was very appreciative now looking back, like how blessed I was, you know.
Well, we were at an Easter experience, myself and my partner and our two yesterday, and Cathal, there was a pony ride at the end for €3. So we put Cathal on the pony and he went very quiet, but he did love it. He'd never been on one before. And I remember having, I'm just saying, we're from completely different worlds. Like, I remember having a flashback to the circus coming to our home village in Spittal and Connemara when I was a kid, and for 50p we got to do a pony ride around the ring in the circus. And that's like a core memory for me. Like, I remember that as being a real wow moment of my childhood. So growing up riding ponies and horses and having that, I mean, I know that just became your normal, that was, but that's the stuff of dreams for the majority, like young girls and their obsessions with little My Little Ponies, drawing ponies, you know that would have been unattainable probably for a lot of people, but we don't realise then, those of us who are not in it, how much work is involved. I get the feeling that leisurely meals and prepping and relaxing and sitting down I just get the feeling from listening to you that between your childhood and life now, particularly during your time with Dancing with the Stars, I'd say there was a lot of food on the go, was there?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, especially when I was riding as well, like during the summer, you'd be riding out in the morning and you'd have to come back for a shower and then head off racing. So depending where you were driving to, you could be going to Ballinrobe, you could be going to Sligo, you could be going to Killarney. So it was a lot of, the eating was probably McDonald's and that coming home and chippers. So probably wasn't the best diet in the whole wide world, but you kind of got used to trying to eat well then towards the end. I did anyway.
Yeah. So I know next month Rosie turns 5. So are you going to be doing a big old party for her?
Yeah, she's all asking about it already. She thinks she's actually 5 already. But she's an amazing little girl. And we'll definitely have something for her. She's actually loves the Bounce and Beyond. I think we went to with Pasquale when we were training for.
Oh, yeah, that looked brilliant. Yeah.
So she said, I want to go there for my birthday party. So so that's where we're going to have to go. So these little things she has built up in her head, I have to try and do things about it. So she's mad to go to a hotel for a night as well, and do the Bounce and Beyond. So there are a couple of things I have to tick off for her.
Lovely. So you're going to have the birthday party, you're going to do dance classes, probably for Rosie and for yourself and Ted. What else is ahead for you? Or do you have any plans? Are you enjoying a bit of downtime?
Yeah, enjoying the downtime. I've got sales next week, Sheila. And so this is kind of like pressure time now, because they only have a certain amount of time that I have them, and then they have to be sold on. So this is the pressure month for me. So I'm kind of glad the Dance with the Stars is finished now, that I can really, really concentrate on the horses at home. And really kind of looking forward to this month. Hopefully things will go well and they're a nice bunch. So with a bit of luck, they'll stay sound and everything like that. So that's what I'm really kind of concentrating on now. And after that, then I'll kind of try and relax then after that.
Yeah, maybe go on a holiday. Well-deserved one.
Definitely, definitely.
Camille, thank you so much for your time. I've loved our chat and I am just excited to see what you do next. And thank you for the weeks of entertainment that you and all of the dancers gave us as viewers at home. You know, I'd be sitting down on the couch with a cup of tea and just loving it each and every week. So thanks a million for all the entertainment. It was absolutely brilliant.
No problem, Sheila. And thank you very much.
If you enjoyed this conversation, please follow, rate and review in all the usual places. Thanks a million. You've been listening to Ready to Be Real.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.